Good morning, Santa Clarita. Welcome in. Welcome in. You are listening to KHTS, your hometown station, 98.1 FM and 1220 AM. I am Matt Watson, and this is SCVI, and I lead school's Eye on the Valley. Our show, Eye on the Valley, for those of you that don't know, is brought to you by SCVI and I lead schools. We are a network of charter schools with campuses in Castaic, Agua Dulce, Lancaster. We've also got a fully accredited online school. That's right, online. Your kid can go to school, kindergarten, actually transitional kindergarten through 12th grade. Yes, they can. Trust me. Check it out. We've also got an amazing homeschool program called iLead Exploration. Go ahead and visit us at iLeadSchools.org for more information on any of our schools, our homeschool, our online school, our campus-based schools. We got something for any student's needs. Visit us again at iLeadSchools.org. So yeah, we've got our eye on education here in Santa Clarita and across the nation, but like our show says, we keep an eye on the valley as well, bringing you everything that you need to know about what's what here in the valley. And we do so while we try to put a smile on your face as well, because let's face it, if you're not giggling once in a while, you're not sticking around, right? And you're going to want to stick around because, you know, we've got a lot for you, a lot to smile at, but, you know, this week we may cause you to get into the entire gamut of facial expression emojis today. We'll have you curious, impressed, interested, inspired, excited. We'll have you in anticipation, suspense. Did I say impressed? And I think you'll find yourself giggling a little bit as well, and you may even give us a side eye emoji once in a while too. So yeah, make your list and hold me to that, because we've got a great show today. In just a moment, we've got Kathleen Fredette and the Fredettes. Right? My colleague Kathleen Fredette is, she's making her bones as one of America's most renowned names in STEM education, and she's got a project that is taking iLead students to the International Space Station. And three of those learners are here with us today. I've got Grace, Hutch, and Carter, and they are leading our society into the era of space colonization. And that's right, we're heading beyond space exploration, heading into space colonization, and these three young folks are leading the way. Then later on in the show, we've got Jenny Shadle from the city of Santa Clarita. She'll be here talking about all the great events coming up in the community this spring. But before we get to that, between our scientists and Jenny from the city, we've got a bit of a scandal that we need to deal with. Yeah, we've got a scandal on our hands having to do actually with one of our locally elected representatives. And I don't want to embarrass anyone, but we've got to deal with this morning. So we will get to that in a little bit. And then, we'll have some fun and some trivia when we wrap up the show. You're not going to want to miss that. So, in fact, you're not going to want to miss any of it. So stick around. Let's go ahead and do this. As I said, my first guests are four people who are working tirelessly. Gosh, I can't even keep up to keep my eye on everything that they're doing. They're working tirelessly to advance the cause of colonization of the moon and Mars. I've got Grace Stump, Carter Sand, Hutch Segan. They have developed multiple experiments that have been conducted by NASA scientists on the International Space Station as team members and principal investigators on three projects already, and are currently deeply engaged in the post-flight process of one of them. And they're also mentoring five groups of students at the iLead Network to follow in their footsteps. Oh, and did I mention that they're all still in high school themselves? So, yeah, that's right. And we're also joined on the hotline by their project facilitator, Kathleen Fredette, who is director of STEAM initiatives with iLead Schools. She's spent most of her career on the forefront of the fields of science and engineering and education. She's an Airborne Astronomy Ambassador for NASA SOFIA, a NASA Endeavor Leadership Distinction Award recipient, a Woman in Aerospace National Award recipient, a Space Foundation teacher liaison. She's pretty impressive, huh? An educational advisor to the board at the Southern California Soaring Academy, and a member of both the National Science Teacher Association Advisory Board and the Aerospace and Dream Up Advisory Board. Kathleen, welcome back to Eye on the Valley.
Matt Watson, how's it going today?
I'm doing great. Kathleen, thanks so much for calling in. And, you know, we've got your learners actually here in the studio. We've got Grace, Carter, and Hutch. Thank you for joining me. We appreciate you coming in.
Aren't they amazing?
They are fantastic. In fact, I think one or two of you have been on the show before during COVID, right?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and talk. Don't nod. We're on radio. All right, so we're so honored that you're able to come into the studio now and do this. Kathleen, I want to start with you real quick so we can set this project up. And it's funny. We talk about school, we talk about project, and we think like balsa wood and glue guns. And you know, that stuff is cool. But you guys are literally light years beyond that. Kathleen, set the stage for our listeners for us. Can you tell us a little bit about the Dream Up to Space project? Because you're doing more than just dreaming, but it's a really cool name, the Dream Up to Space project. How did it start? How has it developed? And what are some of the things that your learners have accomplished over the last, what has it been, 8 years, Kathleen?
Yeah, this is the eighth year, and to date, we have launched 11 student-authored experiments to International Space Station in a small tube that is called a mix stick, and those experiments are then activated and run by an astronaut. And when they come back to us, we compare, the kids do, an experiment, whatever they put in that same tube that's on Earth, we're looking at how did that stuff in that tube, whatever that might be, it could be a chemical, it could be a biological, it could be a seed, how did it behave in space versus this? So how did that start, Matt? Well, honestly, when I first came to ILEAD Schools, I was working for Palmdale School District, the math and science teacher in STEM, and I had run into a project like this with another company. I knew nothing about this project. I didn't even know what the word microgravity meant, and if you would have asked me, how does an astronaut float, I would have said the word, you know, the statement that everyone else says, because there's no gravity
right.
in space.
But that's not true.
Right?
Yeah.
So you know, I was asked by the leadership in ILEAD Schools, can you bring this to ILEAD? And so we brought a project that someone else authored, and we tried to implement. And we did for 2 years. We sent two experiments, and it was a great groundbreaking entry into microgravity experimentation and students doing real science. But what we saw was that the engagement factor, the impact factor, the inspiration factor was missing. And so, you know, by the grace of God, by luck, I found the CEO of DreamUp, which is an educational arm of a company called Nanorax. Okay, so think of Nanorax like this. What's Nanorax? They're like the FedEx to the International Space Station. They're the folks that gather stuff, gather that's called a payload, and have mm-hmm. a little spot in that SpaceX rocket, and they put stuff on the rocket and send it up.
The stuff that you're transporting that goes up to the International Space Station needs to be handled with a little bit more care than maybe the baseball cap that I order on Amazon. Is that what you're saying?
You know, because, right, there's all kinds of rules and things and safety precautions that we have to abide by that are connected by, you know, NASA and the space community. We got to play by all those big boy rules, big girl rules. what I would just say also is that working with DreamUp gave us the opportunity to build a project that not only offers the kids to do something really, really real, authentic, but also in a way that offers kids not just the sorted and selected, the mm-hmm. smartest kids in the group. Though I'll say those three kids you got with there are pretty smart.
Yeah.
But our project really has moved all the way down. Okay, get ready. I used to think this could only work in high school. Then we moved it to junior high, and mm-hmm. literally one of our sites moved it all the way down to kindergarten. And we had one of the proposals from a second grade class make it to the finalists.
Wow.
So we found this project to have been incredibly impactful. And I'll say one more thing, and that is that the layers of input from facilitators that have run this project, as well as the kids, they've informed where this project has gone. And those three kids right there sitting there mm-hmm. with you have helped to build layers of rigor that I never thought would happen, and impact that I never thought would happen. So that's the joy of this, right? I authored Dream Up to Space, but it's not my project alone anymore. It's really the iLead community project.
And that's kind of what we do with our teachers, with our facilitators at iLead, is we encourage them. That's why we call them facilitators. Set this amazing stage and stand back and let the learners go and see what they can do. And that's what you've done. You've built this amazing stage, and our learners have really stepped up. And Grace Hutch Carter, gosh, you guys just keep stepping up time after time. So let's talk with you guys real quick. First of all three of you are learners in the home study program that I talked about, Exploration. What grades are you in? And how old are you?
I'm in ninth grade, and I'm 15 years old.
All right. Hutch?
I'm in eighth grade, and I'm 13, but I'm turning 14 tomorrow.
All right. Well, okay. Happy early birthday. Carter, how about you?
I'm in 11th grade, and I'm 16.
Okay. And so all three of you have worked on projects previously. You're still working on one and starting to take on a couple more, because this is, well, who would blame you? This is kind of cool. Let's see. Carter, let me start with you. I think you worked on an experiment involving yucca, like the yucca plant, right?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about the experiment?
Yeah. So we went through a whole list of, you know, trying to figure out what we wanted to send to the International Space Station. We wanted something that would be beneficial for colonization, maybe on the moon or Mars or just in space in general. And so when we landed on yucca, that's when the work really began. So first off, the reason we chose yucca was because it has a lot of medicinal properties.
Okay.
It also has some practical uses.
Uh-huh.
The leaves are really tough, so they can be woven into baskets or cordage. So used, you know, if we were to colonize the moon, they can... we can use the plant as, you know, a resource.
Okay, so the notion is if we're starting to live on the moon and we can grow yucca in space, then we can use it for all different kinds of benefits.
Exactly.
And so you got to be able to know, will this stuff grow in space?
Exactly.
All
yeah.
Right, cool. So and, how'd it go?
So the experiment, once we figured out what we wanted to put in the mix stick, we had to figure out, you know, how much water are we going to put in, you know, how many seeds, you know, how are we going to hold the seeds in place? Because a rocket launch is very intense, right? There's a lot of pressure, vibration, so we can't just put the seeds in an empty chamber. So we needed to basically use this foam called EVA foam to basically make a little seat for the seeds.
Right.
So we had to test that. And Grace was a big part of that as well. But we had to, basically make sure the seeds were going to make it, first off.
Because you can't just throw the seeds in some water and then send it up, because you don't know if the germination started here on Earth. You've got to make sure it starts in space. And so you got to, like, keep them separated for a little while until the scientists are able to mix them, right?
Yeah, exactly. So NanoRacks, which is like, you know, the FedEx to space.
Sure.
They have three different packages, if you will. So one is just like an empty chamber. Another one has two chambers. And then they have one more that has three chambers. So we used that one. It's called the Type 3 Mix Stick. So in one chamber, we had the seeds. In the next chamber, we had water.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the third chamber, we had, it's called formalin, and it basically preserves the experiment. So once the astronauts open that chamber up, it'll preserve the seeds until they get back to Earth.
Okay.
So that way, everything's separated until it gets into space, and then we make basically instructions for the astronauts.
Right.
So, you know, two days after it arrives, you know, they can see on their little chart that 2 days after it arrives, they're supposed to open up the clamp between the seeds and the water, and then that's when the experiment starts.
Okay. I love that because, you know, I'm an old guy. I think of, you know, going to school, kids are supposed to follow the teacher's instructions. No, you guys are writing the instructions, not for your teachers, but for NASA scientists on the space station.
Yes.
So, okay, so they conducted the experiment, sent it back. I think you guys are still kind of in the whole post-flight thing. We'll talk about that in just a minute. You mentioned that Grace worked with you on this project. Grace, so you were on the Yucca team, but you also participated in a previous experiment too, right? Can you tell us about that previous one?
I was originally on Team Adzuki Beans, and that was like my first introduction to Dream Up Space, and I worked as a team member.
Gonna pause you right there. Adzuki Beans. What are Adzuki Beans?
It was beans about... Oh, you can't see. It's really tiny. It was about like a centimeter long.
Okay.
And they're used a lot in food and have lots of nutrition benefits.
Okay.
And I got to be a part of that team's post-flight analysis.
Okay.
And designing their experiment. And so I got to see kind of what went wrong, what went right, what they struggled with, and bring that over into Team Yucca. And so we could kind of level it up because I had the past experience.
Oh, wow. So what kinds of things did you learn on your and that one flew to the space station as well?
Yes.
So you're experimenting with the Dzuki beans. You send it to the space station. It comes back. First of all, did your beans germinate? Did they grow?
No, because actually we had a problem with sterilization and the loading procedures. We didn't use the UV wand long enough.
Okay.
And so with Team Yucca, we ran 3 or 4 trials just trying to find the best way to keep our experiment as clean as possible and make sure that there was no bacteria in our experiment.
And this is the scientific process, right? You hypothesize and you test and you retest and you go through various versions. But it's kind of tough when your test means you got to throw it on Elon Musk's taxi cab, throw it up to the International Space Station, see if it works, comes back, oh, that didn't work, let's do that whole thing again. That it's not like, oh gosh, I can't see my paramecium in the microscope, let me wash it off and try one more time in 5 minutes. This is a whole process. You guys have been doing this for, gosh, almost a couple years now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys are experienced scientists, and I love that you learned from your mistakes with the Dzuki beans, and then you implemented that, went through several different iterations with Yucca. Now, Hutch, you were on Team Yucca as well, and were also the principal investigator on an experiment involving, I think, carrots. Y'all are growing food up in space, right? Because that's the first thing I'm thinking. Hey, you want to move to the moon? Yeah, well, tell me what I'm going to eat. Have any of you tried germinating hamburgers yet?
Not yet.
Maybe
not yet. Okay, that mix stick is still pretty small. Okay, so, but Hutch, you were working on carrots previously. Can you tell us about your carrot experiment?
Yeah, so the carrot experiment was set up almost like the Yucca experiment and the Dzuki experiment with the type 3 mix stick with the 3 chambers,
mm-hmm.
except we use a different substrate for it. Instead of the EVA foam, we used coffee filters, and we wrapped up 40 or 50 carrot seeds because they're super tiny. They're like, they're like almost the size of, I think they're double the size of like mustard seeds.
All right, yeah.
But
known for their small size, yeah.
Yeah, and then we just wrapped them up and we put them in one of the chambers, and the same thing with the water and the formalin.
Okay, so how did your results with the carrots help you as you worked on the Yucca? Was there no connection?
So the results with the carrots, so they kind of helped us because the carrots kind of came back with, they came back, some of them had like a little bit of mold that I saw in the microscope, but some of them were completely fine.
Okay.
So we learned that the process that we used could have been more, like a little bit more sterile.
Okay, so you brought that knowledge to you when you guys were experimenting on Yucca. Fantastic. Gosh, what an amazing experience. And it's not only a cool experience, you are the scientist leading society's way to colonizing Mars and the moon. This is so awesome. So I want to hear what you learned from your Yucca experiment, because that has now flown to the space station, has come back. But we've got to take a quick break. We are here with Grace Stump, Carter Sand, Hutch Segan, high schoolers and space exploration scientists, along with their project facilitator, Kathleen Fredette. We will talk more about their Yucca experiment, as well as the the other young scientists that y'all are about to start mentoring when we get back. I am Matt Watson, and you're listening to SCVI and I Lead School's Eye on the Valley on your hometown station, KHTS. Welcome back. You're listening to KHTS, your hometown station, 98.1 FM and 1220 AM. This is Matt Watson, and you're listening to SCVI and I Lead School's Eye on the Valley. I'm joined this morning by Grace Stump, Carter Sand, and Hutch Segan, local high school students. Actually, Hutch, you're still not in high school. You're in eighth grade.
Yeah.
And amazing. Local middle and high school students and International Space Station experiment developers. You heard me right. I'm not exaggerating. These young people are not experimenting according to what their textbook says they should be doing. They are creating their own experiments that are furthering space exploration and colonization, and their experiments that they're designing are being conducted according to their specifications by NASA scientists, just on the space station up in space. And they're here along with their project facilitator, Kathleen Fredette. So glad you guys can join us. Hutch, so we talked before about the Yucca experiment. The three of you partnered on an experiment to see if a yucca plant would grow in space. Carter, you were sharing earlier that it's got multiple purposes. It's got medicinal purposes. We can use the leaves for textiles and things like that. And yeah, you can, I think, eat it, right?
Yep.
So, Hutch, tell us about the results from your yucca experiment, because you conducted the experiment here on Earth. NASA conducted it up on the space station. Then you compared results. The world wants to know. How'd it go?
So, the yucca seeds that came back down from the International Space Station, unfortunately, they did not germinate.
Oh, no!
But the ones on Earth did germinate pretty well, except there was a little bit of contamination on the Earth samples. But the ones on Earth, they still give us hope that we can still do it in the International Space Station.
Okay, so your experiment, while it didn't work in space, your conclusion is it's not that we can't grow yucca in space. There may have been some issues. So, Carter, I know that you looked into why the experiment might not have been successful. What do you think happened? Why did this not work?
Yeah, so there's a few different things we're thinking, and we're still in the process of determining this, you know, right now.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the main things we're looking at is a possible issue with the hardware, that package that that Nanorax uses. So that mix stick, after we loaded it in the SCVI lab and got it ready to send off to Nanorax to go to the Kennedy Space Center in Florida, we noticed that the mix sticks had a little bit of leakage, which was a bit of an issue. So we thought we were going to have to just load them again.
Mm-hmm.
But Nanorax said that it wouldn't really be... it shouldn't be an issue. So once it gets to Nanorax, they coat the mix sticks in like a thick wax to ensure there's no leaking. So they were like, well, we think, you know, this could, you know, prevent the problem. Well, they said it should be fine to, you know, continue.
So you had a little leak before it went up.
Exactly.
But yeah. Nanorax, your delivery specialist, like Kathleen called them, the FedEx to space, they said it shouldn't be a problem. You're good to go.
Yes.
Okay, cool. 3, 2, 1, launch.
So,
Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah, so one of the biggest problems is formalin, which is the chemical we use to stop the experiment, is clear, and it looks just like water. So there's no way that we can really determine, and it's also pretty dangerous, so it's not like we can, you know, taste it. Never eat science, guys. But you know,
never eat science.
Well, or taste it. You know, that's the rule we all... Yeah, so there was really no way we could tell, you know, just... in last minute tell what was leaking. So
I want to pause real quick and translate for our listeners. So you've got your yucca seeds, you've got water that's necessary to germinate, and so you got to keep those two separate when they go up to space, because you can't have it give you false positives by germinating here on Earth before the launch.
Right.
So you keep the seeds and the water separate, but then you've also got this other liquid in there called formalin.
Yes.
And that's in there to basically kill the experiment before it comes back.
Yep.
Because you don't want, like, nothing to happen in space, but as soon as it comes back, bam, now we get germination and growth. So you gotta start and then stop the experiment in space. So you've got these two liquids, and there was no way for you to tell which one was leaking, basically.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, I got it.
Yeah, now that we know that, we think we may actually be able to refly the experiment, so we may be able to send another one up. I think this June.
Oh, okay. So, again, like I said, if you're in the science lab at school and it doesn't work, you wash it off, you try again. Grace, is it really that simple? Like, oops, we had a leak, let's do it again. What are you guys doing now? Are you looking at ways to prevent the leak? And like, what's next? What's next, Grace?
Right now, we don't really have a definitive answer on what went wrong. We only have theories. So the next step, we're running a set of ground trials to try to determine what went wrong and why it went wrong so we can fix the problem.
Wow. Are y'all listening to this? Are you listening to this? We've got an 8th grader, a 9th grader, an 11th grader at iLead Exploration, and they... what a perfect name for the school you guys are going to, Exploration. They are creating, designing, writing, developing an experiment for NASA scientists to explore whether or not yucca plant, which would be very useful in space, whether or not it'll grow in space so that we can continue moving toward colonization of the moon and Mars. And you guys have had plenty of speed bumps along the way, but you are undeterred. Couple of years now, you're constantly going back to the drawing board, and how cool that your school is providing this opportunity of, oops, it didn't work. Let's put it back on SpaceX and send it back out, you know, onto the space station.
Yeah, I will add that it is incredibly rare to get, you know, another chance at this.
Well, it's so rare to get one shot at it.
It is. But it's unheard of to get another chance, and Nanorax is, we hope, going to give us another chance. So, yeah, we really want to make sure we get it right this time. And so, actually, this week we're going to be going in and we're going to be loading up some of those real mix sticks and kind of seeing if they leak. We're going to probably put some food coloring into the formalin section, because if that leaks, then we'll be able to, you know, see, you know, okay, so that probably leaked and that was why our experiment did not work.
Okay. So, Kathleen, I know that you've looked into this extensively as well, and the company that you partner with, Nanorax, the way they handle everything that these learners are developing is so meticulous. What is it that you've learned in working with Nanorax and in these young folks on these experiments?
Yeah, thanks for that question, Matt. So we are so fortunate to be so closely partnered with Nanorax and their educational arm, DreamUp. We have presented with them at several international space conferences. They've supported, in fact, Gray spoke at a space conference and presented for Team Yucca, and they've supported us all along the way. We South by Southwest, we presented with them. Why am I telling you this? Because they are all about what we're doing. And what's exciting is that some of the work that our kids are doing and our teams are doing is helping Nanorax with how do they really communicate what's the best, what are the best options for getting these mixed sticks, what that's what they're called, up to the space station, and how do we load them with best sterilization practices. Mm-hmm. So to that end, I'm super grateful for the ongoing conversations we have with both of these companies. And they're all about, hey, do you have more learners who want to figure this out? I'll add, and I'm not dropping a name, but our good friend Al Bowers, who is the former chief scientist at NASA Armstrong, told us and told our kids, this is not failure. This is exactly where you should be in aerospace. This is what happens. The more you do experimentation, the more you run into hard roadblocks. And that's when, as he would say, the fun begins. So he really helped us to realize that what we're doing, what the kids are doing, that reloading and the testing of the mix sticks is going to not only inform the next five experiments, and these kids are going to be helping our next five sites and teams send those experiments. And by the way, heads up, that launch just got changed, so I'm going to be telling you guys that.
Okay.
The exciting thing is that we can also share this with other microgravity scientists.
Right.
So our work is actually not just in our little community. It's actually being shared, and we're learning from other people as well. It's this beautiful give and take, and I can't even tell you how grateful I am for the folks at Nanorax and DreamUp who love everything about iLead schools.
Well, and yeah, I totally wanted to highlight that. How amazing that that DreamUp and Nanorax, folks that are working on some serious and very important and really expensive stuff, is reaching out, knowing that there is this type of genius in our schools, reaching out to develop these educational arms, pulling in the next generation of scientists. What amazing foresight on their behalf.
Oh, straight up, right?
Yeah.
And you know, like I just talked to the mission manager from Nanorax last night. She called me to let me know that the vehicle that we thought we were going to be on, the SpaceX vehicle, it's overbooked. And that's what happens sometimes, just like a airline flight, right?
Sure.
And so it's really interesting to be behind the scenes and what's happening in space and our kids and our families. Oh, my gosh, the families there that you have.
Yeah.
Two of those families have been on several of these rides where our launch changes. And it's a great, great opportunity for all of us to learn flexibility and the ability mm-hmm. to pivot. And we tell kids and families, hey, if you can't be flexible, this is not the right project for you, because space science requires flexibility, and it requires the ability to take hardships and disappointments and reframe them and reuse them for the good of the project and the good of the community. So pretty excited.
Yeah, absolutely. This is real. This is real life, real work, real science. So Kathleen, you've mentioned that these three scientists are now, they're interning with other projects, just the way you and the three of them and all of the folks that got us to the moon in the 60s and put the rover on Mars have all stood on the shoulders of the giants that came before them. You guys have stood on their shoulders, and now you're putting other people on your shoulders. Kathleen, what does this internship look like? What is this support that these young scientists are lending to new experiments through iLead Schools? What does that look like?
Hey, thanks for that question. Well, what we recognized is, and what we're recognizing is the depth of this project and the depth of the leadership that's developing within our young people, because they're with us for, now that some of them have been working with for 3 years, that they have the ability now and the desire to co-lead. Mm. And so it's smart for me, and it's the right thing to do, to say, you're young, yes, okay, but you can also walk next to these other teams and share what you've done, listen to them, help to lead them, help to guide them, not be the sage, right? That we're not telling them what to do, but we're gonna create these and co-create with them. And I'm really thrilled about this, because what it's requiring for me as the leader is to make room to hand the leadership over to the learners and help guide them as they develop. And one of the thing that all four, there's another learner who's part of the intern program, they all know they're kind of making this up with us as we go.
Well, that's space exploration. That's science. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is so cool. That is so cool that you've helped provide opportunity after opportunity, and then y'all have just grabbed that opportunity with both hands and three hands sometimes, it feels like. So let me ask the three of you, as you will continue to look at your yuck experiment and see if you can throw it back up there onto the space station and try again, what do you hope to accomplish by supporting this new era of projects with your colleagues at all of our schools? What do you hope to accomplish?
Yeah, well, it, like we mentioned earlier, you know, we have learners as young as second grade.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, this is really probably for some of them, like, their first exposure to space and science, and they actually get to do it hands-on, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
And inspirational for a lot of the learners that go through this project. But also, some of them, we're doing this mostly virtually. For some of them, it's like, you know, they need to know how to send an email. They need to know, you know, how to work on a shared document. So that's, you know, we're hoping to kind of help relieve some of that pressure from the facilitators. So, you know, we can work more with the kids on, you know, developing those little school skills that they can take with them into middle school, into high school, and, you know, for the rest of their lives.
So really, developing some of those ancillary skills that are very important, but so that they can focus on the science.
Exactly.
Hutch, what about you? What are you looking forward to as you start to work with, the younger generation? I say this to an eighth grader. the younger generation coming after you. What do you hope to accomplish?
Yeah, so I hope to, like, help them with their, being inspired to do this and letting them know that, like, this could be, like, a lot more than something you just do once in your life when you were in fifth grade. That maybe this could be, like, a road that they could take, like, for the rest of their lives if they wanted to.
Gosh, that's amazing. I hear educators all the time talk about career and technical education pathways, and Hutch, you're in eighth grade, and you're helping kids younger than you develop that career and technical education pathway. What about you, Grace? What are you looking forward to as you start to work with these other groups?
I'm really looking forward to seeing these kids grow, and as they, like, kind of get to know themselves and develop all these skills and their public speaking and kind of become more confident in their abilities. They're like, oh, I can do science too.
Y'all are listening to these folks that, no, they are not in their 30s and 40s. They are in 8th, 9th, and 11th grade. They have already had multiple experiences experimenting on the International Space Station. They're currently working on post-flight analysis and redrafting their previous experience, and they're mentoring other younger learners as they start to continue to blaze the trail into space exploration. Kathleen, this is super exciting, but I can imagine it's tough rolling out in all formats. These three learners are in our home study program. Is this something that's only available to our homeschool learners, or is this something that's available for all of our kids at SCVI and iLead schools?
Yeah, that's a great question. So this project last year, so this school year, and it was in the fall, ran at five of our sites. So as you mentioned, wow. Exploration, our home study, it ran at SCVI, mm-hmm. at iLead Lancaster, iLead Antelope Valley, and iLead Agua Dulce. Did I get them all? yeah, I did. And they ran it in different ways. Some of the schools and directors chose to run it in a grade specific, and they ran the project in one grade.
Okay.
One school wrote it, ran the project in every single grade.
So the entire school working on a project.
Yes.
Wow.
Their whole school was like spaceified. It was like magic. It was truly magic.
Oh, run. Yeah.
And so after that, when the proposal is selected, I think you might have mentioned this before, we bring in some really heavy hitter aerospace people to look at the proposals that the kids put forward, and then they help to deselect each experiment proposal. And from there, what the kids have been talking about to you today is from there, each site site has had to create their own what we call launch team.
Mm.
So, you know, think of it as a funnel, right? A lot of people have opportunity at the project. Many proposals are written. One is finally selected and then go back out. The funnel widens again. And then we say, all right, which learners would like to apply to be on this launch team? And what does that launch team do? That launch team is getting ready to get that experiment to space. They're doing what you already talked to our kids about. What exactly is going to go in that little tube? All of that experiment optimization. They do outreach and fundraising, because really this is like winning the lottery, or like, I don't know, you would say, like, you would give me like the Rose Bowl or something.
Right.
Right. You're the CIS champion. So we really want everyone to know about it at each site. Each community is really celebrating this amazing thing they're doing.
An amazing opportunity that you're providing kids from all ages, all educational formats. Kathleen, you hit the nail on the head when you said magic. Y'all are just making magic happen, and you're blazing the trail towards space exploration. Grace, Carter, Hutch, Kathleen, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Godspeed. We really appreciate it. When we come back, we're going to delve into a bit of a scandal here involving two local leaders, one of who is your current state senator. Stay tuned. I'm Matt Watson. You're listening to SCVI and iLead Schools Eye on the Valley. We'll be right back on your hometown station, KHTS. Welcome back. Welcome back. You are listening to KHTS, your hometown station, 98.1 FM and 1220 AM. This is Matt Watson, your host, and you are listening to SCVI and iLead Schools Eye on the Valley. Wow, that was so inspiring. Just had some young scientists who are experimenting on, in their case, several different foods and whether or not they're going to grow in space so that we can grow them to use for multiple reasons up in as we start to colonize the moon and Mars. And yeah, they're in 8th, 9th, and 11th grade at iLead schools. So inspiring. I did mention before the break, we've got to deal with something that's been on my mind this week. It's got me really concerned. Our state senator, Scott Wilk, was embroiled in a bit of a controversy this past week, and we need to get to the bottom of it. Last week, the senator was gracious enough to join us here at Eye on the Valley, and he was great. He talked all about why we're paying so much for natural gas. Have you noticed your gas bill? And also for petroleum gasoline, you know, the gasoline we put in our car, and why that's so expensive, and what he and his colleagues up in Sacramento are doing about it. He talked about education and crime, and he was gracious enough to stick around and play trivia with my brother Big T and I. You know, he is all business, but he's also a lot of fun. Well, the senator was in here about a year ago, and he beat me on his previous visit. And so this last week, I was out to redeem myself, And so we get into it, right? We start playing. Big T's got his trivia questions, and we're going back and forth. A lot of classic rock trivia last week, and as we're getting towards the end, I'm leading 5-4 when Engineer Precious gives me that 1 minute signal. We've got 1 minute left. You got to wrap the show, and so we said we've only got time for one more question. And so here it is. I'm leading 5-4. We got one more question. Show's about to wrap. And so if I get it right, or if neither of us get it right, then I win. I redeem myself. I beat the state senator. If the senator gets it, then he forces the tie. So yeah, that's where we're at. I'm winning 5-4, and we've got one question left. Let's go back to the tape, because something kind of interesting happens here, which is where that controversy began. I want to take you back to that tape. So let me go ahead and pull it up here. Here we go.
What band had a 1970 hit song with More Than a Feeling?
Frogger. Was that Chicago?
Incorrect. Wrong city.
Center. That would be Boston.
You said 1970. That wasn't in 1970. That's on you, T.
1976, I said.
No, you said 70. I would have known that.
We'll have to go to the transcript. We'll have to go to the transcript.
That's what threw me off, because you said 70. I swear to God.
Okay, so there's the controversy, right? There's the controversy. Did he say 1976, or did he say 1970? And the state senator was playing under protest. Now, after the show, Mom did call and say, no, he said 1976. And so we were ready. I won, right? But then show contributor and husband to producer Sarah, the Grobro, says, no, Big T said 1970. So which is it? You be the judge. Let's play it again real quick.
What band had a 1970 hit song with More Than a Feeling?
Frogger. Was that Chicago?
Did you hear it? What did he say? Did he say 1970? Did he say 1976? One more time real quick. 70 or 76?
What band had a 1970 hit song with More Than a Feeling?
Yeah, Big T. Big T, I think the senator's gotcha. You said 1970. So, I think there it is. So that's a tie. Senator Wilk, you got me the first time. We tied the second time. I think I'm going to have to call for another rematch, Senator. We're going to need you to come in here for a third round, all right? So, Chris Huff, are you listening? Book the senator. Let's get him in here. I need that rematch right here on SCVI and I Lead Schools Eye in the Valley. I'm Matt Watson on your hometown station, KHTS. Welcome back. You are listening to KHTS, your hometown station, 98.1 FM and 1220 AM. I am Matt Watson, your host, and you are listening to SCVI and I Lead Schools Eye on the Valley. We are coming to you live from the center of Main Street here in beautiful downtown Newhall, and well, gosh, if you were listening at the end of last hour, we had a local controversy that we had to settle. State Senator Scott Wilk was in here playing trivia with us last week, and you know, we had a tie game going into the final question, and did Big T say 1970? Did he say 1976? We played it for you live on the air. You heard it. It clearly sounded to me like Big T said what 1970 hit. And, you know, the senator said he said 1970. The Grobro said he said 1970. So who are we to argue? But Mom, the ultimate authority, said that Big T said 1976. Big T thinks he said 1976. We replayed it. I heard 1970 every time. We settled the controversy. All is right in Awesome Town. Well, and then the lovely Lisa bursts into the studio during the commercial and says, he said 1976. So I don't know if this controversy is behind us yet. It is scandal on Main Street. I don't know what the community is going to do for the rest of the week until we can get some, I don't know. I think we're going to have to bring in Engineer Andrew to slow the tape down, do some complex audio analysis. We had our NASA scientists in here earlier. Well, yeah, they're in 8th, 9th, and 11th grade. But hey, don't you criticize them for their young age. How many experiments have you conducted on the space station? They're working on their 3rd and 4th. maybe we can have them analyze it. I don't know. I don't know. I just hate the controversy, the strife. So we're going to move on to something that's, well, honestly, much more important and much more fun. I'm joined now by Jenny Schadel from the city of Santa Clarita. Jenny was born and raised right here in Santa Clarita. Not a whole lot of people can say, yes, I am Santa Clarita through and through, but Jenny can. She's dedicated nearly two decades to working for our city. She is the Arts, Venues, and Volunteers Administrator for Santa Clarita. Jenny previously sat on the board, previously or currently sit on the board for the Santa Clarita Valley Education Foundation. You're still on their website, Jenny.
Oh, yeah. No, previously.
Okay, previously. Yeah, but you currently serve on the board of the Eclipse Theater in Los Angeles, an exercise enthusiast with a passion for the arts, and she's got a bead on all of the great events coming up in town this spring. Jenny Schadel, welcome to Eye in the Valley.
Thank you so much, Matt. I really appreciate being here.
So glad you're here. So let's see. Really, really cool title. You are the Arts, Venues, and Volunteers Administrator. So kind of not a whole lot happens in this town without your green light, right? So can you tell us about your role at the city? What do you do for a living?
Of course. So actually, I've been with the city for almost 20 years now. I actually started as a part-time employee in the events area of the city, producing...
Back when you were in, what, junior high, elementary school, I'm assuming.
Producing the Concerts in the Park series. Mm-hmm. There used to be a fine craft show at Old Orchard Park. Times have changed, you know, like the events have really changed, evolved over the years. I started the Thursdays at New Hall events down here in Old Town New Hall in 2011 when Census came to the block.
Has it been that long?
It has.
That's an amazingly popular event.
It is. I still have the first photo from when when the city of Santa Clarita produced that event. So I love looking at it constantly. And kind of morphed into where I'm at now. So I oversee civic art, public art programming here in Santa Clarita, as well as the volunteer programming, which is about 3,000, 4,000 plus volunteers that come out to various events. Youth sports, libraries, community centers, to really dedicate their time to our community. And we enjoy them so much. We just had our volunteer recognition this last weekend to celebrate them, as well as facilities and venues. Yes. So Canyon Country Community Center, the sports complex, the Mitchell House, and ball fields, baseball fields. We have 37 plus parks here in Santa Clarita. So those reservations are continuous all the time.
Wow, that is fantastic. Doing a lot. You mentioned all the volunteers that you just honored recently. And volunteering for the city is something that's so rewarding. Y'all provide incredible volunteer opportunities. And you stuck around in this town. You didn't graduate high school and take off, I'm guessing, for the same reason I did, because this is awesome town. This is a great place to live. People are constantly giving back. Can you share a little bit about that volunteer process? I've been involved in the River Rally cleanup and things like that. It's not just something that folks show up and say, here, give me an orange vest. It's a bit of a process, right?
I mean, a process meaning like you want to right. give your time to the community.
But well, and y'all want to make sure that you're organized and know who's coming and how to get everybody most effective, right?
And depending on your interest, right?
I
so
see.
If you do want to come out to a event and volunteer for an event, we have those kind of opportunities. If you want to come and support the community in being a coach for a little league,
right?
You know, those are our opportunities. We have a program called Read to a Dog. So you bring your dog to the community center, and then littles are able to read to them to improve their reading skills. We have various age groups. So some age groups can't participate in certain activities because of age. So we really focus on like how to get those younger residents to invest their time into the community also.
And
through
integrate
the library
them
systems.
In the lifestyle of volunteerism.
Yes.
Growing that next generation of great community leaders.
Yes, for sure.
So that is fantastic. So I understand that the city recently restructured their departments. Can you help our listeners understand what your division provides for the city? It's more than just like, okay, you're running all the parks and the theater and things like that. What does your division do?
So our division is Arts and Events Division. We are under Economic Development Department. Economic Development Department has the tourism, filming. We also have then arts and events, and arts and events encompasses, as I said, the civic art, the volunteerism, and our events that the city produces here in Santa Clarita, which I'm excited to tell you about for the month of March, but I can go further than March, or you can have me back, right?
Well, yeah. We have time. All right, producer Sarah, book it. Yeah, fantastic. So, well, I tell you what, let's talk a little bit about stuff that's gone on in the past, since you've got so much experience working with us, and our recent past here in, well, planet Earth has been weird. So I want to talk about that, and then, yeah, I want to talk about the events that are coming up in March and this spring, and we'll go into the foreseeable future, right? Perfect. We don't want to put things in 2025 on people's calendars just yet. So the city's always provided so much. You mentioned we've got dozens and dozens of parks, and it seems like there's special events, multiple special events going on every weekend, during the weekdays. You probably don't get much time off. But things really slowed down, right? Back in 2020, in fact, around this time,
yes.
3 years ago, things really I don't know, call an English teacher, to a halt. Things really slowed down during the pandemic. So I bet your team is really excited as we're ramping up, kind of coming post-pandemic to as we move into now events where people are getting back together.
Of course. Yes, you're right. It was about 3 years ago that the atmosphere was unknown at the time, right? It was very unknown.
Great way to frame it, yeah.
So we didn't know and did cancel a few events within that time. Mm-hmm. However, we as a city, I think, are just innovative, very creative, especially arts and events.
I love it,
and
yeah.
They kept, you know, arts and events kept going. So they had virtual events, bingo nights. I think you even mentioned the virtual 4th of July parade happened.
Right,
so,
yeah.
So they kept going in this kind of virtual atmosphere to keep residents and quality of life like up in Santa Clarita.
Yeah.
Even to, we had drive-in movies just to get that experience of getting out and about and being part of a community, even though you had to be separated from the community.
Yeah.
So, yes, I think arts and events didn't stop. They were still as creative and innovative as they possibly could be in a time where it was very uncertain of what was going on.
Right. And I love that innovation. I think, like, here at the Main, they've got, like, 140, 150 seats at the Main, and so you can get a few people into their theater. During the pandemic, like, you can't smash a bunch of people into a theater. And they went virtual and not only was able to kind of keep programming out there, they expanded to a global audience.
Yes.
So I love seeing these different things that are not only how can we still survive, but like, hey, how can we really up our game during this challenging time? It was amazing.
Yeah, the theater community definitely came together at that time. And the Main has 81 seats. It is a small theater here in New Hall, in Old Town New Hall, which has programming all the time.
Yeah.
Tonight, I believe they have a magic show that's happening.
Oh, wow.
Just going to double check my notes, but yeah. We'll talk about that at some point. Yes, tonight. And theater productions all year round. It is constantly packed. Definitely check out at the Main. .org to find out all the programming there, because yes, they have so much programming.
Yeah, and you know so much. I don't know if our listeners know this, but the city actually runs the Main, the theater here. Right?
Correct. The city does lease it so that they produce or help other organizations produce theater productions there.
Administer might be the
word,
which is what you do for a living. So, and I love how involved, I guess, how invested our city has been in making sure that we have things like local theater, like an ice skating rink. It was kind of this existentialist crisis when the ice station needed to close down. Business is business. I think Rat from Fast Times said that. Hey, business is business. And things happened, but the city stepped in and said, nope, our community needs this. And again, didn't just save it, but really up the game. Now we run the cube, and there's so much cool stuff going on there.
Oh, yeah, and the cube is busy. As the volunteer recognition was last weekend, mm-hmm. they had so many people there, either practicing games, they have skating lessons. It's a beautiful facility that is very fun, and they have a grill upstairs now. So definitely, wow. if you haven't been to the Cube, they do have open skate. So please go and check that out also if you're interested, especially in the summer when you need to cool down a little bit.
When you need to cool down. Yeah, and the great thing about going this weekend is you're not going to feel that weather shock walking from 100-degree heat into the ice station or into the Cube. It's going to be the same temperature inside as it is outside.
Sure, you won't have to change.
And again, the Cube, another beautiful thing that came out of the tragedy that was the pandemic. And I just love how you, your team, the whole city really did pivot, so overused, but just innovated during that time. Was it a weird time for you? Because, like, City Hall was closed. You're probably, working from home like the rest of us, but still offering the community these amazing events. Was that a strange time for you?
Yeah, thank goodness for online videoing at that time, that people could still have meetings, discuss, and kind of come up with those creative, innovative ways to connect with the community. Okay. But we are all back and so ready to have in-person events. I mean, we had in-person events last year also, and
right.
this year is just expanding even more.
Yeah. Have you heard from – do you get a lot of input from people around town? Are the residents ready to kind of – because I know some folks are still a little bit nervous because, let's face it, COVID is still a thing. It is real. Are folks getting excited about getting back together and, smashing into Central Park for the concerts and things like that?
Of course, as they were last year also.
Yeah.
And we saw that happening last year. People were really looking forward to their comfortability of coming back into the community and just enjoying their time with family and friends, either in Concerts in the Park or Census or the new event that the city has now producing called Celebrate at the Canyon Country Community Center. So
yeah.
having all of those experiences and being able to get out and about and being together has definitely, you could tell.
Yeah.
The energy is back.
You know, you're right. And I'm glad you mentioned Celebrate. A smaller division of the city, I suppose, that I work with has been involved in Celebrate with the sister cities of Santa Clarita and the Santa Clarita Valley International Program. Can you tell us a little bit about – I know I wanted to wait until a couple minutes from now to get into spring events, but Celebrate is really this beautiful series that that the city dreamed up and is putting on. Can you tell us a little bit about Celebrate at the Canyon Country Community Center?
Of course. With the opening of the Canyon Country Community Center last year or 2 years ago, we started to think about, what else can we bring to the community that really highlights what our community is about and to kind of showcase other areas. So Celebrate does celebrate other cultures within our universe.
Yeah.
this year we will have celebrating China and celebrating the Tatavian nation. And
yeah, our local indigenous tribe.
Yes, our local. We are celebrating Egypt and so many more from April to September. It is on the second Friday of the month. And those are very fun just to learn about a little extra about somebody else's culture and be a part of it. And yes, mm-hmm. Sister Cities is a great partner with that event, especially since the city of Santa Clarita has two sister cities, being Sarayaya from the Philippines
yeah.
and Ecuador in
Tena. Yeah.
Tena, Ecuador. Yes, thank you.
It's
thank
a
you.
City right on the edge of the rainforest there
yes,
in central Ecuador.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
Always looking to kind of expand and inform people about the partnership that the city of Santa Clarita has with these other sister cities.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful family-friendly series where folks can come out. It's outdoors, and so you don't have to worry about the kids screaming and running around. That's what they're supposed to do. And I've seen kids out there with chalk on the sidewalk, and there's booths, to get some amazing food.
Food,
and,
yes, yes.
And then there's also, educational booths where you can learn about the culture that's being featured. It's just a great way, to bring literally the entire world to our community here in Santa
Clarita. Correct. Yeah, it's a lovely, it's such a great partnership and a great event. So definitely come out. It's the second Friday of the month, starting in April right. to September.
I love our city that is just constantly pushing the envelope to not just rest and say, hey, we've got a great city, we've got lots of great things going on, constantly asking themselves, what more can we do? How can we make life even better for our residents here in Santa Clarita? Jenny Shadle, the Arts, Venues, and Volunteers Administrator for the City of Santa Clarita, joins us this morning. When we get back, she's going to run down some of the great events we've got coming up this month and this spring. I'm Matt Watson, and you're listening to SCVI and I Lead Schools Eye on the Valley on your hometown station, KHTS. Welcome back. You're listening to KHTS, your hometown station, 98.1 FM and 1220 AM. This is SCVI and I Lead Schools Eye on the Valley. I am your host, Matt Watson. Jenny Shadle, the Arts, Venues, and Volunteers Administrator for the City of Santa Clarita, joins us this morning. Jenny, do you handle, like, every venue in town? Like every geographic location? Here's what I'm looking for. Can you arrange for me to rent Bill Miranda's place for my Orthodox Easter wild boar roast?
You know, I think Councilmember Miranda may need a personal request for that. So
okay.
No,
so
I
that's
can't.
Not something that necessarily falls in your portfolio, but, if you will, of venues.
I think the councilmember may be, and I don't know. Yeah, okay. I'd call him personally if you need to.
All right, I appreciate the help.
The venues that the city does facilitate is the Canyon Country Community Center, the center at the sports complex, and the Mitchell House, which is brand new in Vista Canyon area. It is a beautiful 60-person venue that if you're looking for a birthday party, a shower, baby shower, wedding shower, it is a beautiful facility.
Roast a wild boar?
Oh, yep. There you go.
Great. Wow. You are nothing if not flexible. All right. So despite the weather that we're having, spring is in the air. It's always a time when things are happening and our city never slows down, but it seems like springtime, we really ramp up and you've got a lot to share with our listeners today. So should we get started? Let's start with this month. What's coming up here in March?
Spring is our busiest time. Spring and fall. I mean, we have the most beautiful weather within that time. So
that's why
it
our
makes
mortgage
sense.
Is so high.
Yeah. True. I do want to talk about Free to Be Me, which is on March 11th. It will be at the Canyon Country Community Center, as I've been kind of talking about.
Beautiful it's center. If you haven't been out to Canyon Country to see the, what is it, the quadruple C? Is it C?
C4.
C4.
Yeah,
there we go.
C4.
Yeah. Canyon Country Community Center. Beautiful indoor-outdoor venue, just an amazing space for the community. What's going on? What is Free to Be Me?
So Free to Be Me is an event to celebrate our differently abled and their families through a series of inclusive, adaptive activities. So on the day of, it is 12 to 3 o'clock, and there'll be music, there'll be storytelling, there'll be booths to activate your family members to enjoy the day for the differently abled.
All right. And I'm looking at the website for the event. You've got line dance instruction, face and hand painting, sensory activities. Who could say no to a therapy dog? You're going to have therapy dogs out there. That way you can get the kids out and pet the puppy without having to take one home. Right?
And true.
I've seen... For real, is this happening at the Canyon Country Community Center? Volleyball, golf, cheer, street hockey, football, running, special needs registry.
Correct. All of it's happening. So if your family is looking for a sensory, expansive event that you may not get in other events, this is the one for you. It is definitely something that we have a chill zone. So if someone is a little overstimulated, you can go inside to kind of calm down
music,
for the day.
The music, the drums can be
Of course. And everybody has a different level of comfortability.
Sure.
And sometimes you can't take your family members out to certain events. Mm-hmm. This one is the one that the committee has very consciously thought of what to do with the family members, either young, middle, older, every age group is welcome to come. There is a lot of activities that'll come. And definitely the therapy dogs are so fun and so willing to be pet and fed and very, very accommodating.
And you mentioned for the differently abled in the community. Jenny, that doesn't necessarily describe me and my family. We're different looking. But this is for everybody, isn't it?
For everybody. It is for everybody.
An amazing event for the whole family, Free to Be Me, Saturday, March 11th. That's coming up. That's next weekend?
Yes. All right. Next Saturday.
We mentioned a little bit before the break, Senses. What's going on with Senses?
So Senses is our block party.
Yeah.
It is every third Thursday of the month. We have, as I said, have been doing this event since 2011, which I can't believe, but it is still as popular as it was when we first started. So we take over the block on Main Street, and March 16th starts our series with a St. Patrick's Eve event, which is always fun to have Irish music on stage, Irish drinks, food, and just a very fun green event.
Fantastic. So, you know, we are an education-based show, but we're celebrating cultures, and I am Irish.
Okay, coming out for the event.
Celebrating the culture. You mentioned Irish food and drink.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have some whiskey, going to have some beer.
I assume that, yes, the bar on the street will definitely provide a little bit of samplings.
A little corned beef and cabbage.
Oh, deliciousness.
Maybe some shepherd's pie. Oh, so looking forward to it. An event that appeals to all, say it with me, Jenny, senses.
All senses. Yes. Which is actually how we came up with the name in 2011, is to kind of figure out how to bring all those senses. The sights, the sounds, the smells, the taste of whatever that theme for that month is. That is actually how we came up with the name of it.
So excited. You know, my mom makes the absolute best corned beef and cabbage in the world, but if you are not as blessed as I am, and your mom doesn't do the corned beef and cabbage, get out there March 16th. It's a Thursday, March
Thursday
16th.
Yep.
And enjoy Senses celebrating St. Patrick's Day. And if you don't have Irish roots, come out and get in touch with my roots. Now, this next event that we've got coming up, and I say we've because I got to play a small part in this. This was actually, I think, the first, if not maybe the second event in the entire city canceled because of COVID. This event was ready to roll. It built for the first annual, and then bam, COVID crushed it. I'm talking about the Sister Cities Charity Hike. That was scheduled, I think, for, what was it, March 15th, 2020?
I think so.
And it was like, you know, I was talking with the other board members on Sister Cities, and Tess and Art and Claudia and all of us. Can we make it? Schools are closed. We probably shouldn't bring people together to hike. And so that was postponed. Now, 3 years later, we're bringing the Charity Hike back. Can you tell us about it?
That's right. The Sister Cities Charity Hike is going to be in Rivendale Park and open space area. It is a 5.15-mile hike through
Towsley
Canyon.
Yeah.
Or take the scenic route and do the 1.6-mile in Elder Loop Trail. The fundraiser will benefit the Santa Cruz local to global programs, which provide opportunities for global engagement through youth education, cultural exchanges. Sister Cities is such a wonderful program. They even do a youth artist authors showcase, which the City of Santa Clarita residents have won multiple times over the years internationally, so that's always very exciting. And Sister Cities is just a wonderful program. They still have opportunity to register, so SantaClaritaSisterCities.org to register for the hike. I believe it's $20 to donate back to the hike and get right onto the trails.
Yeah, it goes to a great cause. We talked about bringing the world to Santa Clarita. Well, Santa Clarita is going out to the world as well, and through Sister Cities International, our city is doing some great things, as you mentioned, working with Sarayaya, Philippines, which is a city very similar to ours in the Philippine Islands, and then Tena, Ecuador, and I think we're not quite sisters yet, but we're sort of kind of cozying up
friendship-wise.
Yeah,
yes.
We're cozying up to a city in Japan, Matsudo, I think it is, which is, it's interesting, when I looked up Matsudo, it was described as kind of a middle to upper middle class suburban neighborhood outside of Tokyo, and I thought, huh, that sounds familiar.
Very familiar.
About a 40-minute drive from downtown Tokyo. Yeah, very much perfect relationship for Santa Clarita to be involved in. Again, the Santa Clarita Sister Cities Charity Hike coming up here on March 18th. And so, yeah, great way to get involved in our city and stay active. If you want to do the 5 mile hike, if you want to do the 1.6 mile hike, you mentioned the 1.6. The smaller one is on the Elder Loop Trail. That's a last name. We're not shaming anybody. So yeah, funds are going to be going to local, the sister cities, local to global programs. Very exciting, very exciting. Here's another one that our schools get really excited about. SCVI has been featured prominently, not because our school is that amazing, but because the students that go to our school are amazing. The Youth Arts Showcase. We've had a few winners over the years. Tell us about the Youth Arts Showcase. When is that and what is it all about?
Yeah, Youth Arts Showcase is March 25th and, you are correct. Your students have definitely come and showcased their art at the event for many, many years. It is in recognition of Youth Art Month, which occurs in March. This year, we're celebrating at the Newhall Community Center down here in Old Town Newhall.
Yeah.
And it really showcases a celebration of youth, visual performing arts for children of all ages. It is a great event to bring your littles out to. It is so fun to see performances as well as get your hands a little bit dirty into the art world.
Yeah, I love that. I remember years ago when we first started, it was something for our local students to display and demonstrate their artistic talent. And of course, there still is the gallery where you can come and see students' artwork, their writing, hear their music, their photography, every different expression of the arts. But then it's expanded to where you can come and not just see and witness others' art, but you and your kids can get involved in some artistic expression as well. It's a great event.
And this will be our first time doing it at the Newhall Community Center. So we're really excited to have it at a new location. Mm-hmm. There's, I don't mean to say it this way. There's great parking. I know that that's a weird.
Huge parking lot. But hey.
A weird.
Have you been to the mall lately? I've been six times but haven't gone in because I can't find a spot.
Correct. It has great parking. So it's easy to get to. And it will be a lovely day for families to kind of get together and express themselves in some art.
Absolutely. Now, there was something that we held really near and dear to our hearts here in our community that folks thought was lost, but you're bringing it back, right? You're bringing back the Cowboy Festival. Talk to me about the Cowboy Festival. When and where is that happening? I'm super psyched.
All right, so the Cowboy Festival is coming back April 22nd and 23rd, but let's kick it off on April 20th, Thursday night, here on Main Street in Old Town Newhall with with the Census Wild Wild West Block Party.
Cool, so you're merging those two events. You got Census and then the Wild West Block Party.
Yep, and going straight into Cowboy Festival then.
Fantastic, love it.
Cowboy Festival will be on Main Street, so come on down and really experience that heritage, that Western feel. Cowboy Festival has morphed over the years for sure, you know, starting in, I hope I'm getting this date right, 1996?
It was a ways back.
Something around that time. I should know this. I apologize for not knowing that date.
We should ask Big T. Good with dates.
Mr. Wilk would definitely be able to maybe
sure the senator would know,
But we are so excited to have the Cowboy Festival back. Yeah. This will be a 4 years since we have been on grounds with our cowboy musicians, our country musicians, our Americana, our folk to be around. This year we're having line dancing and still those very fun activities all throughout Main Street, on Main Street in Old Town Newhall.
I see that producer Sarah is actually posting on our Facebook live feed. She's posting links to all these different events because the city, it's not just one landing page. You've got different websites and pages for all these different events. But, of course, they're all linked in and connected to the city's website. We're talking about the Cowboy Festival. I know that Western heritage is an extremely important part of the foundations and roots of our community. But not just for country folk, is it? Because I'm a suburban kid, right? I grew up at, well, even before Valencia Town Center, I grew up at the Northrop Fashion Center. I'm kind of a valley dude. Not just for cowboys, though, right?
Of course, it is a fun event. It is one to come out to, bring your boots, bring your cowboy hat, and really enjoy not only the heritage portion of it, but that country portion of it, where you get to have a little peach cobbler, possibly, or some other kind of cowboy grub that is so delicious that you can walk around, enjoy all of that.
A little chili, maybe some cornbread.
All of it.
Oh,
all of
man,
it.
You talk about senses. Wow. Okay, so I kind of mentioned and just kind of threw out there's all these different web pages for all the different events, so many different events. But, Jenny, if people are just kind of overwhelmed, maybe they're in their car driving and can't really take notes, where can folks go when they get home and to learn more about all of the fantastic spring events being hosted by the city?
Everything can be found on santa-clarita.com/calendar. So not only the city-produced events, but other community events or produced from other organizations are all on that calendar. Check out santa-clarita.com/calendar.
Okay, fantastic. And Jenny, we mentioned in your intro that you were born and raised right here in Santa Clarita, didn't grow up far. In fact, I do my background. I call it doing background. Some people call it stalking. But I think you were born here at the local hospital, Henry Mayo, grew up, graduated from Saugus High. Go Centurions! COC, Cal State LA. Now you work here in the city. Let's say, Jenny, it's one of those just remarkably rare weekends that there's not any great special event going on here in town. I know we try to not let a weekend pass without the city doing something amazing for local residents, but let's say it's an off weekend and you know the local theater's between productions. What are one or two of your favorite go-to activities here in town? Are you out playing pickleball with Cameron Smythe at Central Park? Maybe disc golf with our very own engineer Andrew Delgado? You hiking the open spaces with Lorene West, maybe hanging at the library with my BFF, Shannon Vonnegut. What do you do when there's nothing to do in town?
Is there nothing to do in town? There's never nothing to do in town. That is so hard to even say. But yes, I do enjoy hiking, so I will be at the Sister Cities Hike on the 18th.
Fantastic.
I enjoy just all the offerings that Santa Clarita does have, because there is so much here. Yes, we do have events so often on weekends, but there is other activities. If you need to come down to Newhall, go to Lemley Theater, go to a movie, enjoy your time, and just being in Santa Clarita is so lovely. It is such a great community to be a part of.
And Jenny, you're a huge part of bringing that to us, and we really appreciate it. It's, you know, you just step outside your front door and look around. There's so many different things going on, and so much of it goes right back to your office, you and your team, all the different lovely events that you're providing for us. Yeah, you know, I mentioned my big brother. He's always loves to step in and give a correction or a little bit more added detail. Big T is saying that the first Cowboy Festival was indeed back in 1994.
94. Okay,
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Big T. I appreciate that. Yes, we started at Melody Ranch in 1994, and I think it was right after the earthquake, and that's why we moved to Melody Ranch, actually, because of that year.
That's right. We forget that it's not just pandemics that hit us here in
Southern California. Right,
right. Oh, my goodness. Harken back to those days. Okay, there you are. Jenny Shadle, the Arts Venues and Volunteers Administrator for the City of Santa Clarita, but she's still Jenny from the city. And I will be back with Fun with Big T right after this. This is SCVI and I Lead Schools Eye on the Valley. I'm Matt Watson, and this is your hometown station, KHTS. Welcome back. You are listening to KHTS, your hometown station, 98.1 FM and 1220 AM. This is SCVI and I Lead Schools Eye on the Valley. I am your host, Matt Watson, and I convinced Jenny Shadle, the Arts, Venues, and Volunteers Administrator of Santa Clarita, to stick around, and she's going to goof off with us for a little bit here with Big T, but you know, we didn't even have enough time to get to all of the events here in March. You mentioned after we went to commercial, the One Story, One City, One City, One Story. What's going on at the library?
Yes, One Story, One City is starting in March. It's Remarkably Bright Creatures by Shelby Van Pelt.
Ah.
So check out the library systems, because there is so much that happens with our One Story, One City. There's a screening of the Underwater documentary, My Octopus Teacher, at the Main on March 10th. And on March 24th, the newest art exhibit with underwater creatures will start at the First Floor Gallery at City Hall.
Very exciting, very exciting. And as if he didn't get enough play on the show already, we're bringing in my brother, Big T, because Mom doesn't let me have any nice thing of my own. Big T is joining us now for his 5 minutes of fame. And Jenny, we appreciate you sticking around and taking on the challenge to goof with us. I think Precious is going to play with us as well. Y'all know Big T. He's a longtime resident and leader here in the Santa Clarita Valley. He's an executive and philanthropist. Big T is an amazing father and husband and community leader. And just like the questions that he's got for us today, Jenny, his very existence is trivial. Here he is. He is Mom's favorite. Big T, welcome to the show.
Mom probably made him say that, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, good morning, all.
Good morning, Big T. So Jenny, here's the rules. Tony's got trivia questions for us, and he's going to throw out the question. When you know the answer, you too, you're playing along too, right, Precious? You hit your buzzer. You don't see your buzzer on the countertop. Your buzzer is your name.
Beep. Oh, okay.
Well,
okay,
you can
Jenny.
Beep if you want. Okay, yeah, Jenny. Okay. So we've got Jenny and Precious, and I go by Frogger because that's what Big T tells me to do. Okay. So yeah, call out your name when you know the answer. And so, Big T, let's do this.
Perfect. Hey, quick fun fact for you. Did you know, Matt, that Fruit Loops are all the same flavor? You don't have to pick around the purple ones. They're all the same flavor.
Lies. Lies. Okay. That is a conspiracy theory. I'm not believing it.
No. Well, and you know, Kellogg's changed the spelling of Fruit Loops. They changed it from F-R-U-I-T to F-R-O-O-T because there's no fruit in it. So I guess the flavor of Fruit Loops is fruit.
It's an illusion.
Fruit.
I love it.
All right,
it's an
you
illusion.
Ready for some trivia?
Yeah, we're ready. You ready, Jenny?
I'm ready. I'm
you
ready.
Got this.
Perfect. What year was the first Cowboy Festival?
Jenny!
Jenny.
It was 1994.
1994 is correct. Oh, originally, the Cowboy Festival was called something else. There were two other words in there, one beginning with P, one beginning with M.
Jenny!
Jenny.
The Cowboy Poetry and Music Festival.
Whoa. Wow.
That is correct.
Oh, are all of these going to be on
on my event?
Because I got this. I got this.
I hope not, because I need to win.
Switching to Main Street trivia.
Okay.
No. Grinding chili peppers and red bell peppers make the national spice of Hungary. What is it?
Frogger.
Okay. Frogger.
Borscht isn't a spice. But I'm going with borscht.
Incorrect. Jenny, anything?
Nope.
Paprika.
Oh.
Did not know that.
In 2005, the New Orleans Superdome provided temporary shelter for thousands of survivors following Hurricane what?
Frogger.
Frogger.
Katrina.
Katrina's correct. Who's the host of Wheel of Fortune?
Frogger.
Frogger.
Precious is grinning because she didn't want to answer that, but she knows it. It's Pat Sajak.
Pat Sajak is correct. How many chambers in the heart control the flow of blood?
Precious?
Oh.
Three?
Precious.
Precious.
Three? Wait, can you guys hear me?
Incorrect.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Frogger.
Oh, I'm so excited for a minute. Frogger.
I'm going two.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be two.
Incorrect.
Oh.
I'll go with four. Jenny, four.
Four is correct. Four is correct.
I like this elimination trivia.
Right?
This is much easier for me.
Wait till he gets to the true and false questions.
Oh, good. Good, good.
Right. What Latin phrase means to trade something for something?
Oh, Frogger.
Frogger.
Quid pro quo. Oh.
Yes, and Big T has weekly talks with Frogger about quid pro quo. What passenger on the Titanic was dubbed unsinkable?
Oh, Precious. The unsinkable Precious. Molly Brown. Because I love
Molly
Titanic.
Brown, Precious on the board. I love it.
Okay. Love you Titanic. Got any Celine Dion to play in the background?
Oh, I wish.
All right.
Wish you could find it.
What two ingredients are in an Arnold Palmer?
Jenny. Lemonade and iced tea.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Yes.
What three ingredients are in a John Daly?
Frogger.
Frogger.
I think pork chops, cigarettes, and bourbon.
Incorrect. Same two as the Arnold Palmer, but there's one extra.
Well, I don't know the specific one, so I can
go for it.
I didn't hear that.
Okay, Precious, I guess I don't know what the specific thing is, but is it like alcohol?
Yes, it is. We'll give it to you, Precious. It's iced tea, lemonade, and vodka.
Okay.
Vodka.
Okay. See, my answer was funny if you know John Daly.
The correct answer is funny if you know John Daly.
Right.
Which singer was married to both Elliot Gould and James Broden?
What singer? Frogger. Jewel.
Frogger. Mm-hmm. Incorrect. Anybody?
I don't know.
Barbara Streisand.
Oh, Babs.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think Jewel being very married to Elliot Gould would be, well, you know, who am I to judge?
Miley Cyrus regularly sports a modern version of a haircut made famous by her father, Billy Ray Cyrus.
Frogger.
Wait, is he didn't ask you a question.
One? You're right. He didn't ask a question. I'm sorry. Big T, I'm being reprimanded by the guest. I'm going to sit this one out. Was that a fun fact or a question?
That was a question.
Oh, what was the question part? What was it called? Oh, what was the haircut?
Yeah.
What was the haircut?
Jenny.
The mullet.
Yes.
Which now I feel bad because I apologize. I didn't realize that was the question.
For years.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Jenny, I graduated Saugus High School in 1990. For 20 years, I told people, you know, when I was in school, I used to have long hair. You know, I kept it really neat up front. It was just a few years ago that I said, holy crap, I had a mullet.
Yeah, party in the back.
Yeah, business in front.
Business in front. Yeah, love it.
What assessment of total body fat is abbreviated BMI?
Frogger. Body mass index.
That is correct.
Hey, Big T, if there's something Frogger knows something about, it's body mass.
Right. Traditional, Roth, and SEP are all types of what financial planning instrument?
Frogger. That's an IRA.
IRAs. What does IRA stand for?
Frogger. Reiner.
Frog?
IRA Reiner.
Incorrect.
No?
Jenny, got anything? Precious?
Nothing.
Individual retirement account.
Oh, there we go.
That makes sense.
Ooh.
I thought it was the Nicorette Irish Republican Army, but I, you know.
No. Retirement. Right. Retirement. Got right. That.
Nicorette is specifically approved to help control the urge to do what?
Frogger. Smoke.
Smoke is correct.
There we go. Sponsored by John Daly.
Leaving the position in 2021, who was the first woman to hold the office of Chancellor of Germany?
Oh, Merkel. Frogger. Merkel.
Which one is it, Merkel or Frogger?
I think Frogger was her first name.
Angela Merkel is correct.
There we go. Well, and the reason I said her last name is because my brain wanted to say Meghan Merkel, but I'm like, that's a different person.
Yeah.
What condition is a lack of red blood cells?
Frogger.
Frogger.
Is that anemia?
Anemia is correct.
All right.
What morning TV show recently had a scandal because two of its anchors were having an extramarital relationship with each other?
Rutrow. Frogger.
Frogger.
It wasn't my friend Michael Strahan at the Today Show, was it?
Not the Today Show. GMA? Anybody?
Not a clue. I don't know.
Not a clue. Even when he says GMA?
Good Morning America.
Okay, Good Morning America. Big T, if it's quick, we got time for one more.
Perfect. Who's the youngest Oscar winner of all time?
Frogger. Tatum O'Neill.
That is correct. 10
Bam!
Years old.
It pays to be old, Jenny. All right, I did pull it off, but you had a good showing. You said you weren't good at trivia. You lied to me. You did very well, Jenny. Precious, good showing. We do have to wrap, Big T. Thanks for swinging by, though. We'd also like to thank our guests, high school space pioneers Grace Stumpf, Carter Sand, Hutch Segan, and their project facilitator, Kathleen Fredette, Jenny Shadle from the city of Santa Clarita, producer Sarah, engineer Precious, Big T, and thank you for listening. Remember, life is hard, but we're all here to help each other along. Be well and do good. Have a great weekend. Join us next week and every Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. I am Matt Watson, and this is SCVI, and I lead Schools Eye on the Valley on your hometown station, KHTS.